Good morning, everybody. It's July 8th, 2021. I'm Larry Jacob. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio, the voice of the American Consortium for Equity in Education, over at ace-ed.org, which is where we're going to archive this wonderful show we're going to do today with my friend Mary Robinson-Cohen, who is the superintendent and principal of a one-school district. That's right, in New Jersey, Roosevelt Public School. Okay, Roosevelt Public School District. And we're going to talk to Mary about how that came about, what the great history of the place, et cetera, et cetera. She's been on before, and we just talked about it for a second on a show about a different topic, and now we're going to talk about her school in detail. As I said, we're going to archive at ace-ed.org, and you're invited to go over there, see what we do all about equity, join with us. We'd love to make your voice heard. You'll see our magazine, which is called Equity and Access. It's an online journal. You'll love it if you take the time to go through it. Again, ace-ed.org. And without further ado, enough of me blabbing. The one and only school in the one and only district. Okay, Mary Robinson Cohen. Hi, Mary. Good morning.
Good morning, Larry. Yeah. How are you?
I'm fine, as a matter of fact. How are you? Bright summer day. It's actually probably rainy in New Jersey today. What's going on?
No, not yet. Not yet. We're good. So far, so good.
Okay,
so
good.
We're hanging in. We're good over here.
Good. You sound like very Philadelphia today. You sound like Philadelphia today.
You know why? I'm taking the call from home, and you know I live with that Philadelphian husband, okay?
I know.
So it must be catching on as opposed to my Brooklyn.
Yeah, this sounds more Philadelphia to me today than it does Brooklyn, okay? This is great, Mary. And I'm just going to start off really simple. By the way, you were introduced to my dose. I'm going to give her a little bit of credit, my other friend Nancy Weinstein over at Mind Print Learning, if you want to learn about that, Mind Print Learning, okay? And Nancy introduced me to Mary, who's just great. Mary, tell us about you. So I'm just going to get right into it here. I love your school and its history. You do, too.
You got it.
Yeah, so go ahead. Have fun. Talk about what this is all about.
You gave a great introduction. We are a single school district in western Monmouth County, New Jersey, which backs up, for point of reference, we're like 20 minutes from Princeton, right, which is Mercer County,
right,
but we're western Monmouth County. And this district was founded in the 1930s. As a resettlement community for Jewish immigrants coming out of New York. It was part of the New Deal. FDR made, I think, about 34, 35 of the, they were called homestead communities, to help people who were coming through the Great Depression to get out of the tenements. People were coming from New York, they were coming from Philadelphia, and to get out of the tenements and to get fresh air, to do some farming. In Roosevelt, which is where I am, that was specifically founded with garment workers from New York in mind. So they were to move out of the tenements of New York and come out and have a factory. So they actually had a factory in New Jersey, a coat factory in Roosevelt.
Wait a minute. Yeah. Who owned the factory?
And they were also going to engage in farming.
Who owned the factory?
Hmm?
Who owned the factory?
The whole town was thought of as a collective, as a utopian, really on almost like, I guess, the kibbutz model.
Yeah.
It's really a very collective, utopian it was thought to be. So the town owned the factory, and then as part of the factory...
Wait, I got to stop you again. This is amazing. Wait, I got to stop you again. This is amazing, okay? This is a utopian community supported by the federal... Yeah, by the federal government.
You got
Am
it.
I hearing? This is in the
1930s. Yep. And there were others. I don't know if any still exist, but there was one I know in Greenbelt, Maryland. I think there were like 34, 35 of these subsistence homestead communities, they were called. The school, my school, was designed and built to be the center of the community. So not only a school, but it was to be where everybody got married, where everybody had their parties, where everybody came. And it still exists like that. There's a cemetery in town where everybody gets buried. There's one post office. You pick up your mail. You don't get it delivered. So it still is like that.
Right near Princeton, New Jersey. We're going back in time near Princeton, New Jersey.
You got
it's
it.
It's amazing.
You got it.
Wow.
So,
this is
wait. The factory.
But,
let me
was
just,
everybody
yes,
Jewish? I got the impression. Was everybody Jewish?
Was. Yes. 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 At the beginning, in the 30s, it was specifically a Jewish community. Yes.
So let me get this straight again. We have a utopian rural community supported by the federal government for Jewish people from the New York tenements built in the 1930s.
You got it. And some Philadelphians. Oh. They were trying to attract Philadelphians, too.
Well, I don't blame them. Of course, they want to upscale from the New Yorkers, everybody. I'm from Philly, so give me a break here. Where else are you going to get your steak?
I knew you were going to say that, Larry.
Yeah, where else are you going to get your steak sandwiches? Come on, give me a break. I mean, you can't live without a steak sandwich. Okay? I believe that's in the Torah.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't live without a steak sandwich, all right? So therefore, this is astounding, okay, that such a place existed. And then the school. So what happened to the community? Obviously, it's not the same way now that it was then. Or maybe it is. I don't know.
So back in the day, there was the factory and the farming. The farming didn't go so well, but the factory was so good that the International Ladies Garment Workers Union out of New York tried to put them out of business, literally, is what I understand. But when the farming didn't go so well, it ultimately became a haven for artists to this utopian community.
Oh.
So we have a tradition. We in the school, first of all, FDR, or under the New Deal in the 30s, Ben Shahn, the artist, was commissioned to make a mural, a fresco, in our building. It's huge. I mean, it's you know, a beautiful, beautiful mural.
That would be part of WPA in those days.
About,
Yeah, go ahead.
Exactly. But this mural tells the history. If you look at it, it tells the history, and I want everybody to come and see it. It tells the history of the Jewish immigration through the tenements of New York to this utopian community. So when you look at it, it's in three parts, and it's the old country, it's New York City, and then it's this beautiful utopian plot plan in New Jersey that we have of homesteads, Jersey homesteads, later named FDR, named Roosevelt. That's how we have the name of the school. But the truth is we, many, many of the original families still live there. Right?
Unbelievable.
That's incredible. So it's a limited,
it was
limited to a small number, but we have a couple of years ago, I just did a quick count in the school and I only have, most years I only have 80 kids in my pre-K to five school.
Yeah.
And 30 of them come to me as choice from other districts, but I did a quick count. So if I have 50 that are homegrown Roosevelt, 20 of them had, and I'm not talking about an aunt or an uncle, a sibling, a parent, or a grandparent that was original that had attended the school. So
wow.
It's pretty incredible. People leave, they go, but they come back because they want to raise
amazing.
Their kids in this community.
And I have to ask this. I'm just curious here.
Sure.
Houses looked different in the 30s. They were more bungalow style, if I may, than what's typical today. Okay, McMansions, whatever, and all that sort of stuff.
Right.
And
you're
kind of in the suburbs of a very upscale Princeton, okay, and near Bucks County and all that sort of thing in Pennsylvania. So what is the community and I look like? Okay, and I'm sure it's lovely. Don't misunderstand, but I'm curious architecturally. Yeah.
No. So it's a very good question because actually under the New Deal program, there was an architect who was commissioned, Alfred Kastner, to build these cement structures. I mean, some people that don't get it, they come there and they're like, did I just land on the moon? Because the school is flat roof and all the houses around it are stucco cement, flat roof. Many of them are attached. And Alfred Kastner's young associate that was designing was the famous Louis Kahn. So Louis Kahn was the architect of Roosevelt. I know. It's like I'm there. I'm
amazing.
So blessed. It's incredible because when I went to college, I went to Bryn Mawr and actually lived in a dorm that was done by Louis Kahn, right? So I'm like, I get it, and it's phenomenal. some people are like, what is
My brother lives right next door to Bryn Mawr College. Yeah. My brother, you can actually walk from Bryn Mawr College to my brother's house. So next time you're there, knock on the door and say, Jim, can I stay over? Okay? Mention my name. Yeah.
I love it. But anyway, so the architect, so I get busloads of people in a non-COVID year, obviously, that want to come to see either the architecture and or the mural, okay? Because the mural, I get people from a lot of Jewish communities or synagogues want to come and tour the mural because of the history. And then I get students. I've had like busloads of college students from Rutgers who want to see the architecture. So it's a cool place. It really is. Yeah,
it is cool. Now this is interesting. The school now. It was originally an all Jewish community, okay. But what's going on now in the district? And again, it's a choice district as well. So describe the school now and your district. The same thing. Yeah,
Absolutely. So school's very diverse today. Both because the community, as a utopian community, even though it was started as a Jewish community, that community evolved and did not stay segregated in any way. It's a very integrated community, right? So I have students from both locally that are very diverse, and then because of the school's rating, and I'm gonna like toot my own horn here a little bit, Larry.
Yes.
Under me, it's become the number one elementary school in Monmouth County.
Well,
so it's got a high rating. We are what's called a choice school, which means in New Jersey, choice in New Jersey means that the state will pay. We have 30 spots. We could take more, but they limit the spots, right, because everybody wants to be a choice district because the state pays to send the child to our public school, right? So the parents don't have to pay. It's not like charter. We get full funding from the state at our rate. So we have 30 students who come to us from as far away as Trenton and as close as my neighboring districts, which are Millstone and East Windsor. So, so from that, I'm a very diverse school, very motivated parents for the most part. And the kids get a great education. I have amazing teachers, and I have the luxury of small classes, which we know if you can have one-on-one differentiated instruction, you're going to excel. So our kids do very, very well.
How do the kids get there from Trenton? Do parents drive them?
Everybody drives. We don't have any busing. So
how long a ride is it?
As I said, they're very motivated.
Yeah. How long a ride from Trenton? Is it
25-30 minutes?
Oh, that's not bad. Okay, I was picturing longer for some reason.
No, 25-30 minutes.
Don't forget,
you have to do it twice a day. Right.
Well, that's not bad. That's not bad at all. For goodness sakes, that's incredible.
No.
So let me ask you this: this is great history. Okay, it really is. It's great history. Okay, and you're dealing with elementary school kids. All right. So how do the kids get a sense of the history of the place and a uniqueness, how unique the place is? Do they get it? The kids?
Well, it's like when you have your own kids. They take it all for granted, right?
I have my own kids. They take everything for granted.
Well, our kids think, they think my husband and I, we're great parents. They think everybody's like us, right? No,
yeah, exactly.
Kidding. But the
yeah.
kids in the school... they do take it for granted. What's adorable is I have these pieces of art, like, all around the building, and I have sculpture, and the kids, like, they hang their lunch boxes on it, right? Somebody else would say, even when there have been, like, tours there, people go, oh, they can't do that. I go, they absolutely can. They're at home with the art. They're living among the art. But we make a point of really letting the kids know the community, the artists in the community are so involved with us. They make sure that our kids have free, when I say free, Board of Education paid, or when our budget's been tight, the artists in the community have picked up the bill, the town council has picked up the bill, so that every child gets studio art lessons after school as an extracurricular because of the commitment to the arts. Yeah, it's really pretty cool. And then what happens with the kids is the teachers always instruct them, but interestingly enough, in the fourth grade. In our fourth grade, we use a textbook that has a picture of the mural and talks about the mural and our community as one of the chapters, right? So when I got there, I said to the kids, wait, do you think that in every school in America there's a picture of, like, a piece of art in their school? They were No, your school's special, okay? This textbook was probably made, I don't know where, but whatever. So they totally, so we do have a focus on making sure that they know, and by the time they graduate, they all do a project on the history of Roosevelt so that when they leave, they know. Now, I do want to say that last year, the governor, the old governor's mansion in Princeton is called Morvan, right? And Morvan did an exhibit about Roosevelt, the community, the school, the whole thing. So I went, and when I got there, I'm like, every kid in the school needs to come and see this. Every student needs to come and see this. And do you know my foundation and my PTA picked up the price of admission, and we got a bus, and we took every child there to make sure that they understood, you know, the their place in history, that they're living in this little place in history, and that other people really, really, really do appreciate it. So hopefully in the long term, they'll know that. But I want to tell you in addition how I know that the graduates really do know and appreciate the town.
Yeah, I would imagine.
This was our 84th graduation, and we always have a ceremony just like the ones in the 1930s. It's, we don't veer too much from the traditions. And
Do you sing "You'll Never Walk Alone" like in Carousel? I mean, the 1930s.
But we have an amphitheater on the grounds with a bust of FDR that Jonathan Shawn, Ben Shawn's sons did, and the kids have to walk by it, and they all have to recite and do. But the 80th celebration, we actually had a town celebration, and we had a great-granddaughter of President Roosevelt come, FDR's great-great-granddaughter. And I'm telling you, the town went nuts. So I know that they really appreciate the history, and they appreciate what FDR did for their ancestors.
That's nice.
And it was just amazing. It was amazing. She was like the coolest person that came. She was this young, recent graduate of Brown University, and she came down, and she really, she was a little bit taken aback by the attention that the town paid. But it was, but they do. The kids get it. We make sure that they understand, you know, as much as they can at their level, but I think they know how special it is.
Right, it really is, and I just want to make this note that you gave to me, that the Eleanor Roosevelt's last public appearance ever was at the school.
Yeah, it was for the bust that I just talked about of FDR in our amphitheater.
Wow.
She came to dedicate that in the 60s.
Wow,
that's huge. Her last public appearance. Yeah, yeah, I know. It's really, and it's this tiny little, as I told you, unassuming, utopian. People don't want a fanfare made, you know, they get it in terms of the art. They make gifts in the tradition, you know, they make gifts to the school, very unassuming. They don't want a big deal. We've been facing some financial issues with our budget.
I was going to ask you.
And
yeah,
I tell you, the generosity of the residents and the people who live there, you know, just, you know, the tradition of giving, and they just, I have to tell you, Larry, they're amazing, amazing, amazing community. And there's nothing that I ask my Board of Education for that they don't support when it's for the children. Absolutely. It's been amazing, an amazing place to be. I'm the superintendent and the principal there, and it's just been an amazing, amazing experience for me. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what's the difference between the two roles for you? Your superintendent, like you have two different hats, two different desks, what do you? Two different lunches, one with martinis, one with martinis, and one with warm milk in a little plastic container. Okay, what's the difference for you as you go through the day?
You name it, I do it. The superintendent part is really my responsibilities with the Board of Education and my state reporting, et cetera, et cetera. But the principal part is the hands-on day-to-day.
Oh, cool.
With our little guys. Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. And, you know, you just brought up something. How many people live in Roosevelt?
So how many people? Oh, I should know
the
this
resident,
in the town.
Yeah.
It's limited. I think there's like 300 houses. I have on a yearly basis. I have 50 students from Roosevelt in my school, and I send another 50 out middle school to high school, so I have about 100 students. I don't know the total population. I'm sorry.
All right.
But we're limited. We're small.
Okay, so let's say there's, I don't know, make it up, 500 households, okay? So,
right.
But there's always this challenge, okay? We have it here, is that we're finding there's less and less kids going to school, okay? So people are
right.
a bit more reluctant to pay taxes for school. I'm saying what we do here
right.
in Cornish. It's a challenge everywhere,
right.
you know, keeping, quote, senior citizens and those people who don't have kids in school to understand the value of the school. Okay, and how it increases property values and all that sort of stuff, but we won't get into that. My point is, okay, but you are a public school with a very small public, okay? So what's that?
Right.
How? And you're a public school, okay? And unfortunately,
right.
here in town, they closed one of the elementary schools two, 3 years ago. Okay, they just couldn't afford it anymore.
Right.
Nice building, too. Okay, and they consolidated, et cetera. So what's going on with that in terms of financial, taxation, you know, all those stories. What's going on with that? Small community.
Absolutely.
What's happening?
Larry.
Yeah.
So, and I get totally, your point about sometimes the community is reluctant to support that in their taxes.
Yeah.
In my community, in Roosevelt, I have 150% support for the school,
Yay.
Even when I have
Yay.
To raise taxes, okay? That's not where my problem comes in. My problem, and, as I said, they all get it. They want the school to survive. The school, it continues to be the center of our community.
That's
you know,
wonderful.
I have a memorial
yeah.
service coming up for someone that, you know, that lived in the community for a long time that was one of the originals.
They
call me and they say, can I use the gym in September? And I'm like, absolutely, right?
Yeah.
So it's a challenge from a school safety point, but I don't mind, okay, because I understand the position, the role that the school
Exactly,
community.
Yeah.
Where my challenge in money comes from is from the state, because the state has a figure that every child should be educated at. And a couple of years ago, they passed legislation that cut my state aid portion because I consistently come in at a number that's too high for the state, right? I don't have as many kids in my classrooms. It's a simple math problem, right? They do the average of how many kids, et cetera. So what we were faced with in the last 5 years is our state aid portion, it has been drastically reduced, and we're facing closing if we can't
Ooh.
Figure out another way to come up with that money. The townspeople, the mayor, everybody, they're beside themselves. We have looked at all sorts of, different options. Right now we're in the middle of a feasibility of consolidation with one of our neighboring districts. So that's troublesome. We're waiting for the results of that. You know, we don't know which one they're gonna recommend, if at all. In addition, I will say though, I have had a legislator in the local a local congressman that's been very helpful to us, and he proposed a bill prior to COVID. Assemblyman Dancer proposed a bill on our behalf to keep us open as a historic. You know, there's a couple
yeah.
of you know.
Yeah.
Legal jargon in it, but to keep us open. And then it died during COVID, so I'm hoping
right.
that we are able to revive that aspect because that would create a niche. It would carve us out as a niche school, given the history, et cetera. So right now we are, and it's so funny because the teachers ask me, Mayor, do we need to, like, cut back on paper? I said, no, we have plenty. We have plenty for the children. When I can't make payroll because of
yeah.
the state aid cuts, you'll know about it, and we'll have to close doors. So it's a 5-year trajectory. We're probably on year 4 of 5.
Are you there
for this year? But but in the next 2 years, we're worried, and we really, because Larry, we know how special we are. We know, and we are, and it's not a private school. It's a public school. I have
exactly.
all the issues that every public school has. But we want to talk about, I was thinking about your show, we are equity in action. If you come to our school, your kid is going to get the best opportunity because of the phenomenal teachers, the access to everything that we have. And we know that small works. But unfortunately, you know, other people don't value that. So that's really where we are, and we're troubled by it. But, you know, we continue to work on, you know, hoping for the best, and at the same time really trying to work to preserve what we have.
Two things. First of all, if you want to, I think I talked to you about this before, but with our magazine, it's over at ace-n.org, and it's called Equity and Access.
Yep.
Why don't you write up a story about the school, and we'll run it in the magazine? That'd be fun.
Oh, I'd love to. Absolutely.
Do that.
Absolutely.
And that way,
yeah,
we'd love to.
I
it's
will.
A big national magazine. I mean, it's got 150,000 served.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
Well,
I have
to tell you, and I'd be glad to. In the last month, we've gotten some really good press. We were on CBS New York Local.
Good.
Our press picked it up, but I would love to write, and I will.
Great.
I will
write you when our show is done today.
Okay.
And I'll introduce you to Maya, and we'll get that going. She'll love it. Okay?
Yeah.
And the other thing, which is actually going
to
be funny, hey, have you started a GoFundMe page?
No, we really haven't done that because what we're trying to do is negotiate through the channels that exist. So we're deep in negotiation.
But you have a lot of alumni.
You
have the school has a lot of alumni.
Yeah,
okay?
Yeah,
and
we haven't.
A lot of people raise a lot of money. People get it. You know, Jewish congregations all over the country will get it. You know?
I hear you, but we need viability. We need long-term viability. So I certainly, you know, we'll think about it, but we don't need short-term. We don't need a lot of money to keep it going, which is the ironic thing, which the bill,
Mary, your
$2
million,
bill,
your $2
like
million a year salary. I mean, come on, you know, really, yeah.
That's my whole budget. That's my whole budget.
Right, with an escape clause of $35 million. Yeah, I mean, you know, we know what's going on.
Yeah, right.
You know, yeah,
right,
exactly.
Right, yeah, right.
Well.
Right. That's that Brooklyn side of me. But,
yeah, exactly.
We're trying to work through the channels. We've had meetings with the, you know, the Department of Education. We're trying, and we're trying to show them this, hey, we get it. It works. Give us more choice seats. If they gave us more choice seats, we would clearly, you know, be able to, and as I said,
yeah.
I have a Board of Education that never says to me, oh, how come the kids didn't do well on this, that, or the other? First of all, the kids do well. But when we take kids that are struggling from other areas, we work with them. And you know what? It takes a little while to close that gap. And my board has been incredibly, incredibly supportive when I've had kids from other communities where their scores, you know, we're working on closing that. And you know, that's what it's about. But unfortunately, the powers that be, we were hoping, you know, maybe the governor would spotlight us or something, but we haven't seen, especially with the FDR history, right? But
exactly.
Whatever.
Exactly. So we'll spotlight you. Okay. I'll introduce
you
to Maya, who runs our editorial. We'd love. It's a great article, and of course, it's helping you guys, and we really want to do that.
Thank you.
You know, and
I'd be delighted. Absolutely.
Yeah, we'll take care of this. All right. And it's
sounds good.
But I tell you, what you guys do is just amazing. It's just an amazing place, and I hope I get down there one of these days. Okay. I really
you
do.
You have to come.
I know.
Listeners, that if they're in the area, they want to see the mural, I'm happy to do that, honestly. They can come. I'll show the mural anytime.
Right. It's just amazing. And, Mayor, what you're doing, it's just a great job. And I know the kids are being educated well, okay? And
Thank you.
And they must have great memories. Okay, and it's funny, you go to a place like Roosevelt, the school, and, you know, it doesn't sink in when you're a little kid. It's hard to appreciate the world. When I was a little kid,
right.
I thought my parents grew up in the same time as the Roman Empire. Okay, you don't get it. Okay, there's no time perspective. Okay, I did. I thought they really rode chariots to school and all that sort of thing. Okay, But as you age, okay, you get a time perspective.
Yeah.
Okay, and that all changes.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, the memories of the kids must be just fantastic.
Yeah.
As they look back on all this and tell their kids, et cetera. Yeah.
There's a page, a Facebook page that I actually weigh in on from time to time. And they are all these graduates. And they say my best memories came from growing up in Roosevelt. So you're
Thank you. Absolutely right. Tap into
they
the alumni. It's the way to do it. It's the way to do it. Learn
they
from
do.
Phillips
they
Exeter,
do.
Where my kids
they
grew
do.
Up. Okay? Please
yeah.
tap into the
yeah.
alumni.
Yeah.
Okay? Unbelievable.
But
all right, we'll talk
it.
Again
they
soon.
Talk about it.
We're going to talk again soon.
I hope.
All right, and I'm going to look for an email from me today,
right.
okay? And I'll get you introduced to
all
Maya
right.
and all that,
all right.
okay? Great stuff.
All right, Larry, be well. My pleasure.
You too, and I love your Philly accent today. It's
all
great.
Right.
Go have a steak sandwich. Think of me. Okay?
I'll talk to you soon. Take care.
You will.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Okay.
All right. Bye. Mary Robinson-Cohen, everybody, the superintendent and principal at Roosevelt Public School, the one school, public school district in New Jersey. The place is fascinating, and it's rps1.org. That's their website, rps1.org. And we'll archive over at ace-ed.org. I'm Larry Jacobs. Hey, thanks for listening. This was great. Ahem.